Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
So getting back into this, a woman of valor. I actually wanted to read something, and Pastor Jessica has said this every single time we've gathered for Proverbs 31. And to show the continuity of what Proverbs 31 is, I wanted to read her introduction. It says, Proverbs 31 is not a job description for women, nor is it a shopping list for men. It's an example of the abundance God gives us over time as we grow to know and love Him more. As a single woman or a married woman, it is a good reminder that a husband and kids are not a prerequisite to receive all God has for you in this life. Very good. Oh, what a beautiful description. And what a challenge as we approach Proverbs 31. So, a woman of valor, this term valor is a term of warfare. It's a heroic term. The term valor is placed on people who have demonstrated some type of heroism. The fact that this word would be used to describe the work of a woman in this time period, a woman who spends her time in domestic affairs, economic affairs, craftsmanship, that God would decide to say that she is, use this description of heroism, of valor, to describe her, says a lot about what God thinks about His girls. It says a lot about what He believes about the work that you and I are called to do here on planet Earth. Just that choice of words. So I wanted to point it out to us today. And as I was researching and learning more and more about this Proverbs 31, it's a couple of interesting things that I ran across. One of them is that this was taught to the Hebrew men to sing over their wives, to declare over their wives. How beautiful is that? It's a hymn, a song, an acrostic using the alphabet so they could easily remember, right? We all know A, B, C, D, right? And so for them, it was from Aleph to Tav, from A to Z, teaching them to remember this so they could speak it and declare it, these beautiful words over their spouse. The other thing that I found was interesting is that this initial saying, this word here in the beginning where it says, all right, that she is a woman of valor. You don't know Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew either, but I like to pretend I do. It says, the word is this, Hayil Isha. Can you say that? Hayil Isha. You're not encouraged because you don't know what it means. Yeah. But it became an expression among the Hebrew women of that time. When they were conquering something, going to go through something, overcoming a struggle, they would turn to each other and say, Hayil Isha, meaning what? You go, girl. You go, girl. Because you're doing the thing that God has called you to do. So I want us to practice tonight. I'm going to make some declarations. I want you to stand on your feet for just a minute. You're going to be sitting for the next probably 40 minutes or so. So go ahead and stand on your feet for just a minute. If you can, if you're comfortable sitting, stay seated. I'm going to make some declarations, and I want you to point to somebody, and I want you to say, you go, girl. And with the next declaration, I want you to point to somebody else, and I want you to point to somebody else. Why? Because this is what God says about you. This is His declaration over you and the girls in this room. So, you are virtuous. You are trusted. You are resourceful. You are profitable. You are strong. You are diligent. You are generous. You are prepared. You are industrious. You are confident. You are wise. You are kind. You are watchful. Hey, how's that feel? Woo! That's right. That is the declaration of God over His creation. You can go ahead and have a seat. You are God's masterpiece, and this is what He has already placed on the inside of you. Now, you may be saying and receiving that you go, girl, from the people around you and going in the back of your mind, that little voice, if they only knew. Right? But let me tell you something about the God we serve. Romans 4:17 says this, that He is the God who gives life to the dead and who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He already knows what's in your DNA. And when those words are spoken over you, it's because they are true. It is what God has placed in you. And it's our job to work them out, to believe by faith, to receive and begin to act on them. As we've been learning and studying all this year through these Proverbs 31 sessions and through our city circles, every time we've gathered together, we've had a Proverbs 31 devotional talking about these things and allowing God to move them in our life. So when you look at this section of scripture, Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, we've covered with Pastor Jessica all the way through verse 27. And if you look at the passage, that is basically the introduction and the body. In all of this, the Proverbs 31 woman is a blessing. She is bestowing blessing by her actions on her children and on her husband. She is actively engaged in the warfare that was declared in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says this. God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. There is a battle of the ages that has been going on since that moment in the garden where there became enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, not the seed of man. But as you care for your family, for your household, you are on the front lines of God's battle. You are living and fighting that battle that was declared way back when. That's why the word is valor, heroic, heroism, because your actions are an act of war on the enemy. You are standing at the line that God has drawn in your life, and you are declaring that I'm going to be who God would have me to be. And that's why you're here tonight. We have come here because that's what I want and that's what you want. We want to be the women who swords out, shields up, fighting the battle that God has called us to. Right? So as we move past the introduction, move past the body, move past the part where she has been a blessing, where she has been diligent, where she has devoted herself to her husband and her children. Our job, my assignment tonight, is to pick up in verse 28 through 31. And I'm going to read over that passage and then we're going to go through it together bit by bit. It says, her children rise up and bless her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her words praise her in the gates. The first passage here, remember this is an acronym. Each section has been divided up into a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This first section here in verse 29, I don't know if they were able to get those up for us or not. Doesn't look like it, but that's okay. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. The letter here, oh, they did, beautiful. The letter here is kaf, and kaf has this symbol, and the symbol is actually a symbol meaning the back of the head. That's what it stands for. So we keep that in mind as we look through this passage. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Maybe you're here tonight again like me and you don't have any children. How does this minister to my life, God? How does it apply to me? For whatever reason, something you've desired and it hasn't happened, or just isn't part of your life for whatever reason. But let me tell you, you can embrace the Proverbs 31 woman because it speaks about you too. I'm going to read you a passage out of Isaiah 54. Several years ago, God gave this to me as I asked him the same question. It says, sing, O childless woman, you have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. We can choose to believe God, or we can see our childless life with limits. God says, if you'll take me at my word, if you'll pick up those stakes, if you'll stretch out your tents, if you'll make room in your life for others, I will give you more than you could ever dream of. More relationships, more influence. People will come alongside and you will be a mother to them in a way that you never even dreamt. But we have to believe God and take him as his word. So if that's for you today, this is for you also. So what does it mean to be blessed? To be pronounced happy or fortunate, right? Blessed is the existence of the God life. The first thing that God did in the book of Genesis when he created Adam and Eve is he blessed them. It's God's first desire for humanity that you and I would live blessed. It's us enjoying the life that God intended for us. This was the expression that Leah had when she couldn't have any more children, and then God gave her Asher. She said, I'm blessed, and she named her son that. It was the expression used in the scripture in the book of Job when he says, the ear that hears, that's a blessed ear. The eye that sees, that's a blessed eye. When we are living the life that God has called us to, the one he intended for us, then we can say that we are blessed. So what we see here is that her children rise up and say that she is living the God life, that she is living life optimally as God intended with all of the benefits of wisdom. This statement, children rise up. It's interesting because she also did some rising earlier in the chapter. In verse 15, it says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. That seed that she sowed, that rising and providing is now coming back, and she's reaping a harvest. As her children rise up, they grow up, they enter maturity, they become aware of her value, and they call her blessed. It might not happen when they're young, right? You probably get a little love note, which you think is absolutely precious. Then you have no idea what happens to them for the next few years. And it might take a few decades, two, hopefully, not too much longer, maybe three, when they turn around and begin to see that their life is blessed because of your commitment. Their life is blessed because of your sacrifice. Their life is blessed because you put your hand to the plow, because you rose up early in the morning and stayed up late at night, because you interceded for them. Their blessing comes as the fruit of what you've sown. What the Proverbs 31 woman sows, she's going to reap in her life. With their maturity, as they grow older, they begin to see what you have been in their life. Her husband, it says, also, and he praises her. The difference between her children was as a general praise, and her husband is, this is a very specific praise. Her husband directs his praise at her, as we shall see in a second. There's a theme in this passage, 28 through 31. We see it repeated three times. Praised, praised, praised. The Proverbs 31 woman, because she's lived the life that she's lived, because she's done what was discussed in those first 17 verses, praise, she wears it from many different directions. Her husband has seen her up close and personal. He knows all the faults and all the intimate details, but he honors her because of the woman that she is. So what does this have to do with the letter kaf and back of the head? What's happening here is this impression of they're talking behind her back. I don't know if anybody's ever talked behind your back, but in our society, that tends to be an expression not with the most positive connotation, right? But this is the kind of talking behind her back that we should desire. The kind of talking behind her back that honors her. Her children were speaking her praises, but not in her presence. Her husband was declaring her praises, but not in her presence. When you're not around, the words of praise coming forth. She is praised behind her back. She is blessed when she's not even able to see that. They rise up and they speak life over her as they learn to appreciate and see the sacrifice, the selflessness, and the dedication that you have invested and given for your families, for your friends, for your community, for your relatives, for your nieces, for your nephews, for your neighbors. The blessing comes as a result of living that Proverbs 31 life. That back of the head is this impression of full circle. It comes around. That's the kind of life that God has promised for us. When we will allow what he's already put into our DNA to come out. It's never too late. It's never too late to start living what God has invited you to live. It's never too late to be that Proverbs 31 woman that we've learned about the first part of this year. If you're sitting here going, this is the first time I'm here, what is that description? All of the messages are available online. Spend some time, go through, re-listen to the qualities of the Proverbs 31 woman, because God is not limited by time. He created time. It doesn't matter how old you are sitting here. It does not matter what you've done and what your past is. You can start new today. That is the beautiful thing about our God, is he is a redeemer and he is a restorer and he can make creative miracles in your life and your relationships. And today can be the beginning. If you're looking back and going, all I see is mistakes. All I see is living the wrong way. I haven't sown into my family. I didn't sow into my children. But you know what? God, where you are right now, God will give you opportunity to begin to sow, to begin to speak, to begin to transform so that you will be the woman who is blessed and praised by those around you. And people will talk about you in the best way behind your back. Look at the next letter, the next passage. Verse 29 says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. The letter here is resh. Resh stands for head or man or chief. So it's going to be very appropriate that this declaration we're reading about is what her husband is speaking to her, not behind her back anymore, but face to face, to her head, to the front of her face. He is declaring it over her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Now again, I have to address the no husband, just like we address the no children. In that same passage in Isaiah 54 that I read about to you just a few minutes ago, I want to finish reading it. It's Isaiah 54, 4 and 5 says this, fear not, for you will no longer live in shame. Don't be afraid, there is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth and the sorrow of your widowhood. For your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. Every woman in this room has a husband who wants to declare life over her. If you're saying, that's not my earthly husband, then it is your heavenly Father. Your husband is your Maker, the Lord of heaven's armies, and he wants to speak life over you. He declares life over you. God is the source of your praise. God is the one who is with you and will sing over you. Did you know that your father likes to sing? Just like we sang to him tonight, it is his joy to return that. Look at this passage out of Zephaniah. It says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. His love will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Tonight, your father rejoices over you. He sings over you. He makes this declaration over you that many daughters have done well. You're like, wait, I thought she was his wife. You know that word daughters, there's tenderness there. It's used often in Hebrew poetry to mean woman, but it gives us that more sensitive, more tender feel. Appeal. That's why it's used in this spot. He's not putting her down, oh, you're just a daughter, you're not my wife, but he's speaking to his wife with tenderness. We find this use in Ruth. Many daughters have done well. We find this use in the Song of Solomon, in that beautiful love poem and passage in a romantic saga. We find the use of the word daughters as a meaning of tenderness. And it says many have done well. There's a comparison here, right? He can compare The husband can compare. God can compare because we are exclusively His. It is a unique one-on-one relationship. The husband recognizes that his wife is in the company of many incredible women. God knows that you and I are in the company of women that He's created that are also gifted and talented and called and equipped to do all of the things that He's called us to. And He says, yes, even rarer, that gift that is in each one of us that God has placed there. But even in the midst of all of that company, His eyes are on her. The Proverbs 31 woman has sown and invested in her family. And as a result, the fruit, the blessing, the benefit is that His eyes are on her. Your father's eyes are on you. Your husband's eyes are on you. That's God's promises. There's something about that intimacy that brings a sense of security to the relationships. Makes room for health. It makes room for fruitfulness when we know that we have a one-on-one relationship with our God who looks over us, who watches over us. Now you may be sitting here going, my husband doesn't speak those kind of words over me. Well, let me give you a challenge. And I know this is simplified because there can be a lot of things going on in a marriage relationship. Simply known as the golden rule. Matthew 7:12 says this, therefore, whatever you want men, others, to do to you, do also for them, for this is the law and the prophets. You might be sitting here tonight desiring that your husband would declare praises over you, and it's not happening. Then my challenge to you tonight, and God's challenge to you, is you go first. You go first. The same way those words would breathe life into you, you breathe life into Him. You speak those things that God says about Him. You declare God's goodness over Him. It's awkward, it's uncomfortable, breakthrough. You are the warrior. You are the one that God has called. When He gives you expression, you voice it. Breakthrough, it will get easier with time. It's always hard to do something new. It's always hard to begin to speak things that we're not used to speaking. I come from a family where years ago, we didn't say these three words. I love you. We knew that we loved each other, but we didn't actually say them out loud. And I remember being in a meeting with one of the pastors and her telling me, Teresa, you have to give it voice. You have to say it. I'm like, oh, it's uncomfortable. Oh, it's awkward. Oh, we understand it. We don't have to actually say it. But she was challenging me in one of the relationships that I was in my family. And I remember the first time it was like, oh, this is so weird. And I was like, I love you. Like, ugh. I mean, it was like horrible. Like, even though it was good and true, it was so hard. But He did something. And over time, the practice, the next time it was easier. I love you. And then the next time I could say it with, I love you. And it began to bring health to that relationship. It began to bring restoration to that relationship. I've got sisters sitting right there. I just looked up and saw them. And we can say that to each other now with no problem. But a few decades ago, we couldn't. That wasn't something that was in our conversation. So if you're sitting here tonight and you're going, that's not in our conversation, then I'm gonna challenge you. You go first. Because God has given you weapons. He's given you His word. You declare truth. You declare His word. You declare His promises. You declare to that man of God that he is a man of God, right? That he is the provider in your family, that he is trustworthy. And you will begin to watch God make it come true. It'll be natural for you if it's not right now because you create those pathways as you believe God at his word. Then it says that her husband says, You, he declares to his Proverbs 31 woman, you excel them all. Does that mean there's only one Proverbs 3 woman? No, but there's only one in that relationship, right? He has eyes for that one. It's very specific. Just like you and I have a very specific relationship with our Father. He declares it specifically over us. She was in a unique relationship. Her diligence, her entrepreneurship, her business savvy, all of that had blessed him, blessed her home, blessed her life. So he could look at her and say, you excel them all. The job that God has given me, whatever it is that I put my hand to, I hope that he'll look down on me and say, in the assignment I've given you, Teresa, you excel them all. Not that the girlfriends around me aren't doing it the same way, but they're doing it in their relationship with Jesus. And you do it in your relationship with Jesus. Because God has works for you, which he have created before the foundation of the earth, for you and I to walk in them. And there is some specificity in that. God, what is it that you have called me to do? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking of the words that have been spoken over you and they've been harsh. They've been words that were not pleasant. They've been spoken darkness over you and negativity. Maybe they're words that play over in your head, even though you don't want them to. You know they shouldn't, but they're still there. That's why we have this book. That's why we have this hymn in Proverbs 31. So that you and I, just like the males would speak it over their wife, you and I can speak it on behalf of God to us over our life. We can open up our word and begin to declare these things over our life. She stretches out her hand to the distaff. She grasps the spindle. I'm effective, right? She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. I am generous. And we can begin to speak those things over us and so that we can replace it. That's why the word invites us to wash. We have to wash and renew our mind. Wash with the word of God. So if the words that play in your mind as you sit here are not God's words, then I invite you to take this chapter. We're in October. Finish out the year washing yourself with the word of God. Not just looking at it with your eyes, but speaking it with your mouth. Declaring it over your life. Making it personal. Taking God's word at what it says and making it yours and saying, you go, girl. This is who you are. This is who I am. And watch. Watch God fulfill his word in your life. Watch him create new pathways in the way you think and the way you see, and watch those things begin to happen in your life. And you won't even know how they happen because God's word does the work on your behalf. Our job is to reach out with faith and apply it in our life. That's why this letter, Resh, is face to face. God wants to be face to face with you. He wants to speak his word right in front of your face so that you can believe it, you can receive it, you can hear it, it can wash you, it can cleanse you, it can renew your mind. I've told my Bible school students for years that you have come to this place so that you can be brainwashed. Why? Because our brains tend to have all the grime of this world, the lies of this world, the limitations of this world, not speaking what God says, but speaking what others say. And so now it's time to take the word and let it wash out all of that stuff. So make that challenge. End the year, not just where you are tonight, but getting into God's word and having a face-to-face. Speak it out loud over yourself. Even if you just spend the rest of 2019 in this chapter, declare it over your life. Read it in a translation where you understand it, where it becomes life-giving to you. Let's go ahead and move on to verse 30. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The letter here is sheen. Sheen. And it actually looks like what it is. It's a tooth. Not the teeth in the front, but the molar. The teeth in the back. The teeth that you actually use to chew with. And it brings out this idea of thoughts. What are we chewing on? Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he or a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This is why it's so important that we take the word, that Proverbs 31 woman takes God at his word, and she takes it and washes it over her so that she, as she thinks in her heart, that's what she's going to become. You and I are going to become an increasing measure the things that we think in our heart. The scripture says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. You know, what we have here is this poetic technique of repetition. It's not two different thoughts, but it's the author repeating himself for emphasis, right? We find this a lot in Hebrew poetry. Now in this verse, it's not the husband talking, but we're back to the hymn writer, the poet who's talking here. And he's making this observation as he closes the hymn. In all of the description of the Proverbs 31 woman, he never describes what she looks like. He doesn't focus on her external. He doesn't focus on who she is outside, but he focuses on what she does. The entire description is a description of action. It is literally an action poem. It is talking about and pulling attention to her works. But that doesn't mean that the other part of womanhood is unimportant. It's a warning. It's not a turning away. I'm never going to brush my hair or check out the way I look. God doesn't care about those things. They make me all carnal. No way. Never think about it like that. That's not what this is saying. Because if you look at other parts of the scripture, right? God, in the Proverbs, there are Proverbs that care about and describe the beauty of a woman. Check out this one, Proverbs 5:19. It says, as a loving deer and a graceful doe, describing a woman, talking about an external appearance. Let her breasts satisfy you at all time and always be enraptured with her love. There's some definite physicality that God cares about. How we look, God cares about that. Taking care of those things is important. But what we're talking about here is an issue of perspective. I mean, the whole Song of Solomon, the permissible erotic book. I mean, really, come on, right? What am I doing there? Nothing. I skip over it. I promise you. Okay. So. Okay. I may have read it a few times. Well, God cares about those things. He put a whole book about it in the Bible, right? He cares about appearance. But what he is saying here, what is the lesson? Charm is about outward appearance. Charm catches our eye. It catches our intention. It entices our ears. It creates a first impression. But what charm doesn't do is it doesn't tell us about the depth of a person. It doesn't reveal their character. It doesn't reveal their integrity. It might tell us something about their values. We might think it tells us something about their values, but we don't really know. It could just be an appearance. I mean, you've heard the saying, a picture's worth a thousand words. Why? Because we look at a picture and we draw all kinds of conclusions, right? We look at we're all about pictures and appearance these days. I mean, Facebook became Instagram. Just post a picture. You don't even need words anymore, right? Just a picture. That's all we get. Why read? But it just tells us about how important that is. And so this is a warning to this woman who has been diligent, who has been self-sacrificing, who has served her husband, who has served her community, who has been generous to the poor, who has been a businesswoman, who has been savvy, who has done all of the things, who has rose early and slept late and stayed up at night and interceded and stood in the gap for others and been there for other people. What he's saying is that that's the woman. It's not about what's happening on the outside. 2 Corinthians says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Charm and beauty have their place, but they are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That's the Proverbs 31 woman who's developed and focused in and not fallen into the trap of giving all of her attention to what's happening on the outside. Yes, pay attention. But make sure that that is a tenth, a small portion of what you're developing on the inside. Don't let the lure of externality be a replacement for the development of the character and the integrity and the tenacity and the woman of faith that God wants to build and he's created already on the inside of you. Give it time too. Invest in it also. If you spend an hour in front of the mirror but don't have 5 minutes for prayer, it might be kind of difficult to build up and give full life to what God has put inside of you. While you're in the mirror, have the Bible playing. I don't know, right? Make it work. Double time it, right? Do what you gotta do. I mean, I love listening. How many of you listen to the Bible, use YouVersion to listen? I love listening. It goes with me to work every day and brings me home every day. It's the best, right? You can find time where you didn't know you have time with today's technology to listen to the words of God and let them breathe life into you. So what is he saying here? Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Here's the deal. The Proverbs 31 woman, she knows where to focus. She knows where to invest her time. She knows that what she's chewing on has to be what God has called her to chew on, what's going to change her and what's going to transform her. So let's not give too much weight. Let's not be deceived by the deceitfulness of the external. But look beyond that with wisdom that God is transforming and forming me from the inside out. What is beauty is vain? We all know that already. As you get older, you're like, I used to look like, what's happening? Why is this hanging? What's going on? Where's the muscle tension? What in that picture is that going this way? Oh my goodness. Oh, that's just me. Sorry, I'm telling all my problems. Don't take a picture like this because something's happening there. That connective tissue isn't doing its job anymore. But what she knows is that that beauty is, it's vain means fleeting. Like a puff of air, it's gonna pass. But you know what? When I'm looking for somebody to speak into my life, to lean on, I'm not looking at what they look like on the outside. I'm looking for that woman of integrity, that woman who loves God, that woman who's lived a lifetime of service to others and generosity, who's sown into that inner woman, who's given life to what God has placed on the inside of her because she's walked it out. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. What are we chewing on? Let's put the right perspective. She's chewing on her relationship with God. She fears the Lord. What does that mean? To reverence God, to be in awe of God. Verse 26 tells us that she opens her mouth with wisdom. Why can she open her mouth with wisdom? Because she fears the Lord. Over and over in Proverbs, they tie together this idea of the fear of the Lord and wisdom. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before her is honor. The one they have on the screen, Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There is a reverence for God, a walking right before God, keeping our heart before God, understanding that it is before God that we live our life, right? It is with the fear of the Lord. The verse says, but a woman who fears the Lord, she's going to be praised. Why? Because if I fear and reverence God, I'm going to believe him. I'm going to take him at his word. I'm going to believe those things that he says about me. I'm going to begin to walk them out. I'm going to begin to speak things in my life that I don't even know how they're going to happen, but God says they're going to happen. I'm going to believe God for my family. I'm going to put my hands to the plow. I'm going to take up a new activity. I'm going to get involved in some business. I'm going to be generous and invite people into my world. I'm going to open up my life, not because I have it, not because I know how it's going to work out, but because God says it is, and I'm living before him and he's going to make it manifest. A woman who fears the Lord, when we fear God, we're willing to do what he says. We're willing to take him at his word. We're willing to believe that he really did put in me all of the things that I see in this amazing woman in Proverbs 31. Choosing to fear God is choosing to believe him. Walk in reverence so that we live before him as an audience of one. And then our husbands and our families and our children and our neighbors and our colleagues will eat the fruit of our lives because we're developing that character, that wisdom, that goodness, and we have something to bring to the table. The presence of God, the provision of God, the generosity of God, because we live in reverence for him. And the promise, God's promise is, you will be praised. He sings over you. He looks at you and he smiles over your life when we have the fruit of reverence and awe of him in our life. Let's go ahead and look at this last one. It says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. The writer of Proverbs 31 decides to close it off, to seal this incredible picture, this incredible image, this picture of what's on God's heart for women with this with this thought, let her own works praise her. The symbol there is tau or tav. And what it means, what it stands for, is a mark or a signature. You've ever heard people who are unable to write, they've never learned how to write, they'll tell them on a paper when they need to sign their name, make your mark. Make your mark. It's your signature. It's the seal of all of the rest of these scriptures that we've been studying in Proverbs 31. It says, give her the fruit of her hands. Oh, we've seen this time and time again. The fruit of her hands in Proverbs 31. The work of her hands. These are the hands that we're spinning, we're sowing, we're feeding, we're caring, we're preparing, we're serving. I love to look at another woman's hands and I just imagine all that they do from morning till night. How many dishes have they washed? How many meals have they prepared? How many toilets have they cleaned? How many heads have they patted? How many bodies have they hugged? How many diapers have they changed? Just this incredible idea of what God has given us the privilege and the honor of doing with our hands. It comes down to this. In the kingdom, there's a law, the law of sowing and reaping. In Galatians 6, chapter 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. She has sowed into her own future. She has created with the energy that God has given her. She has not been idle or wasteful with her talents, with her time, with her treasure, but invested them in serving and providing for others. All of that that you've done and you do, ladies, it's seed. It's seed. And your giving, your sowing, your investing is giving God something to act on, something to grow. And he is promising us here that we will reap a harvest because God is not mocked. And whatever you sow into your family, whether you feel appreciated or not, into your neighbors, whether you think I keep giving, but they never give anything back. We are not a business. We are not business people in that sense when it comes to our neighbors and our colleagues and our family members. We are lovers, and lovers give and give and give. Well, where do we get back from? We get it back from God. Because if I'm looking to get back from you, then I'm looking for a business transaction. I do for you, you do for me. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. That's not God's strategy. That's not the strategy of love. That's not this woman. This woman gives out of what God gives her. And we know that when we sow it into a ground that God is watching over. He's going to take care of making sure that it produces fruit in its season, that there is a harvest in our lives because he is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, a woman sows, that will she also reap. Jesus said it like this when he was talking to his disciples. He expressed this principle. Whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. A simple act of providing some water to someone who's thirsty is an act that God sees. How much more your acts of service, your acts of generosity, your faithfulness, your preparation for your families, for your neighbors, for your children, for your colleagues. The unseen is seen. There is no unseen in the kingdom of God. There is nothing that you've placed in the ground that is hidden and forgotten. It might seem like it's in a dark place. It might seem like it's been forgotten, but that's what happens when you put seed in the ground. It gets buried. And when it gets buried, that's when life begins, when you can't see it. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We have our eyes on God, not on the seed. Because if I'm staring at the seed, it's not coming, it's not coming, it's not coming. We're gonna start planting. We keep our eyes on God and we keep sowing. We keep giving, we keep investing, we keep using, we keep being generous. We keep doing the things, the hard things. We keep standing in the right place because we know that our eyes are on the one who is faithful, who on the one who has given us promises. Beautiful thing about this, and let her works praise her, is this expression is an imperative expression, an expression with an explanation point. It's almost a command. Let her works praise her. They praise her in the gates. The gate is a public place. It's a place where the elders are. We've seen her children praise her. We've seen her husband praise her. We've seen the works of her own hands praise her. And now God's saying, praise her in the gates, publicly, before the elders. God is interested in our influence, in our impact, our work as we sow into the people and into our world, as we sow into what God has called us to. It's his responsibility. That which is done in the secret place, he's the one who will shout it from the rooftops. Your prayer, your intercession, your standing in faith, God's got you. He sees you. He loves you. He's created you. All of your gifts and your talents and abilities, he celebrates them, and he wastes nothing, ladies and gentlemen. He wastes nothing. He puts it in the ground, and he's going to bring it forth in due season. Our job is to hold on. Our job is to let God be the one who brings our praise forward, whether it's from your children or your husband, whether it's from your community or the work of your own hands. God will declare your praises. So my question for you tonight is, where is your anchor tonight? Where are you placing your hope? Are you expecting your rewards, Proverbs 31 girl, from the people in your world? Then chances are you're going to be disappointed. Place your anchor in God. Relationships are beautiful things, but God wants us to hope in him. God wants us to expect from him. God wants us to keep our eyes on him. As you serve, know that you're doing it to him. Know that your heart is in him. Trust in him. When your disappointment comes because the people you're serving aren't acting the way they should, you remember, God, I'm doing this in faith and I'm doing it to you. Stand steadfast in what he's called you to do. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord. And let him your rewarder.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.